Welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster, and with me tonight are Scott Henney.
Good evening, everyone.
Mark Pratt.
Good evening, everybody.
And Eric Anderson.
Hello, everyone.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about bringing Disney home with you. But before we get to our topic, I do want to say once again a special thank you to our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. We just returned from the first ever Diz Dads convention, and since we're recording this before the convention, I can't tell you yet how wonderful it was, but I can tell you how wonderful I expect it to be. We're really looking forward to it. And Mark, Eric, this time next week, we will have seen each other probably a couple of times already.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
And have had a lovely dinner.
So. That's right. That's right. So, gentlemen, tonight we're talking about bringing Disney home with us. The backside, right? Not talking so much about going to Disney and bringing ourselves to Disney, but how we, as Diz Dads, tend to incorporate it into our own homes and our own lives. And one of the ways I think probably that happens most obviously is that a number of us have some element of Disney clothing that's, you know, a normal part of our wardrobe. I don't know, Mark, you were just talking about this before we started recording.
Yeah, I've got a closet full of Disney paraphernalia, T-shirts, ties. I think, like I said, I think I own maybe 3 button-up shirts. The rest are all Disney stuff, you know, nice dress shirts, but the rest are all either Disney Hawaiian shirts or Disney T-shirts. So and it depends on what kind of mood I'm in, where we're going out for dinner, you know, what kind of nice shirt I put on.
Sure, sure. And how about you, Eric? Do you have a favorite bit of Disney attire?
I think probably my favorite one is Perry the Platypus T-shirt that's just like the bright blue and the platypus face on it.
Oh yeah,
It always gets a lot of attention. I'm amazed at how many people come up and tell me they like the shirt and around Disney and just out in the world.
Right.
I think it's a lot of other parents whose kids are hooked on Phineas and Ferb, or maybe they are too.
just like we admit, you know. Oh yeah, the kids like it. That's
absolutely
right. That's why
children.
We watch. How about you, Scott? Do you have a favorite bit of Disney attire?
Might be a little bit biased, but I do have some other than this, but my Diz Dads T-shirt is by far my favorite.
Way to butter up the host.
There's a lot of people that ask about it when I wear it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I got to get into the whole spiel, yeah.
That's great.
But, I have a tradition that I don't buy Disney clothing unless it's from on-site. So the clothes, all the Disney clothes that I have are purchased in Orlando on-site. And it's just a little more special to me, I guess, clothing-wise, because, you know, I don't just buy them at Target or wherever the Disney retail stores are around the country.
And I guess that way, you know, each one of those shirts or each, you know, piece of clothing has a memory that's kind of associated with it about when you got it.
Absolutely. Different trip, different clothing, and it always brings back, you know, when I wear it, I think about the trip that I bought it at. So it's kind of cool doing it that way for me.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I've got a couple of shirts that are sort of my favorite T-shirts, the ones that you know, they'll cycle through the wash and I'll wear them again before I wear some others. And, you know, they're my favorite Mickey shirts. You know, I've got a Steamboat Willie Mickey shirt and one that's a multi-panel of classic Mickeys. And those are sort of the ones that always bubble to the top of the drawer and get worn all the time. And then my new favorite is I got a nice kind of lighter weight fleece with Grumpy on it that was a Hanukkah gift from my daughter. So I don't know what it says that, you know, she decided the appropriate character shirt to get for her father was Grumpy, but hey, you know, I'll accept it because it's comfy and I like it. And it was nice that it came from her. She insisted on paying for it herself.
there's sentiment there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and Mark, you were saying you had a kind of a system for your Disney clothes?
Yeah, my wife and I, whenever we go, you know, as soon as you walk into a store, you're just like, oh, I got to have that. Oh, I got to have that. so we made it a rule that we had to see it at least three times in three different locations before we decided to buy it. And that, honestly, it saved us a ton of money, because if we would have done it the other way, just, you know, random buys, we would have just blown through a wad of cash. So we always decide you got to see it at least three different times in three different locations before you buy it. And then we'll purchase it either for each other or for, you know, for ourselves. So, yeah, it saves a lot of money that way.
Well, and then, you know, at a certain point, the Disney clothes almost morph into what sort of the next Disney at Home topic was, and that is collections. You know, Scott, you were talking about how about your Disney hats.
Yeah, I have a ball cap fetish, I guess. I'm a hat guy, so I collect hats from everywhere. And when we started,
you have a bit of an
Disney,
illness, do you?
Yeah, when we started going to Disney, my wife hates it. I have brought home a couple hats per trip, depending on what they are.
Okay.
But yeah, my ball cap collection is my other big thing. Is there's certain criteria for me to buy a hat. It's got to be something that fits into the rest of my collection, and something that I don't have, and something that probably I won't see very often down the road.
Okay.
So some them limited edition type of deals is what I go for.
So you've got to be going crazy with this whole Year of the Ear thing that they just announced.
Yeah. And there's one that I had a hard time finding when we were in Orlando in November, but it's a newer Mouseketeer hat. It's a ball cap with the ears on it.
Okay.
And I happened to pass somebody. He was getting off the bus and I was getting on the bus, and there's two of them that had these hats on, and I actually had to stop them and ask them where they got it, and they're like, well, we bought it out in Disneyland in California.
Oh,
no. Like, oh, you're kidding me. So then the whole rest of the trip, the whole rest of the week, I was searching every store on Disney property to find this hat.
Hunt is on.
I ended up finding it, so it's everything's good. But
that's good. Glad you found it. So who else has a Disney collection at home?
We have a small one. We have a curio cabinet in our family room that I would buy my wife the large snow globes that Disney comes out with every year.
Uh-huh.
So I would buy her one to two of those. You know, I'd buy her one for Mother's Day usually, and then maybe one for Christmas. So we have a curio cabinet that is it's full, and they're overflowing out into other parts of the house. So we may, instead of getting one this year, we might end up getting a curio cabinet for the future stuff.
At a certain point, you just got to make room.
You do. You really do.
All right, Eric, any Disney collection activity on your part?
Well, we've been amassing a series of refrigerator magnets from the resorts where we stay. We head down to Walt Disney World, and we just added the refrigerator magnet for Castaway Key after our cruise in early December, which was excellent. But it's a really nice way to kind of keep track of where we've been, and it's a nice reminder in the depths of winter here to look at you know, the magnet for the Polynesian, and
right,
you know, put yourself back in a hammock with Dole Whip.
Yeah, now see, I'm not much of a collector anymore, partially because, somewhat like Scott, I have a sickness, and if I start a collection, I have a problem with it, so it's just safer for me not to start.
So you're a completist?
I'm very much a completist, and so once I start a collection, it gets problematic, and it's just better if I don't start. But around here, my daughter is the collector. Actually, my son too, but he collects different things. My daughter collects the Disney baby, or I guess that's what they call them. I don't know, the baby Disney stuffed animals. They're like small plushes of Disney characters as babies, and she loves them. And I guess they're not always like produced. She's desperate to find a Stitch. We don't know. Maybe it doesn't exist. We swore we saw one at one point and can't find another one. But each trip, that's one of the things she looks for, is she, you know, picks very carefully the Disney baby that's going to get added to her collection from that trip. And, you know, again, like the shirts that, or the hats that Scott gets, you know, or the magnets that Eric gets, they're reminders of that vacation for her. And she can tell you exactly, you know, when, you know, where she got it and when she got it and what part of the trip and all those things. So definitely helps us bring that Disney spirit home. And then, you know, along those lines, one of the things that I think we've all shared is that one of the things we like about Disney is the music in the parks, and the sounds of Disney World. And we all have some different ways that we bring the sounds of Disney World home with us. You know, Mark, I think you were talking about this at one point.
Yeah, I've got, you know, on my hard drive, I have an external hard drive that has like 580 different songs, clips, ride, you know, sounds, things like that on it. And then, you know, on my phone, my ringtone, I have the Disc Dad's intro, you know, that Josh did for the Mickey Mouse Club, kind of the death metal version of it. And then I also have the monorail spiel as well from my other ringtones for different people. But yeah, the music, you know, I love all the music from it. And then you can also get that subsonic, you know, that has all the sounds from it as well,
right,
on streaming. But yeah, I really like my collection. It keeps growing. So
yeah. And Eric, you were talking about Disney music as well.
Let's see. I, having the two young daughters, we end up listening to a lot of Radio Disney in the car, which doesn't have a lot to do with the theme parks, but it does get that Disney name, you know, in my head 27,000
right.
times.
Sure.
During the course of any drive with them. You know, additionally, if I'm sitting at the computer, I can, you know, bring up one of the online services that streams some of the Disney music from the parks, like what is it, Decot or Mouse World Radio.
Right.
That's nice for some background music.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a reason they call them background loops, and they make nice background music at home, too. How about you, Scott? Any Disney music that's part of your home life?
Oh, we love Disney music. We got plenty of CDs, just like Mark. We got plenty of music on the computer and everything else. With addition to the subsonic radio, there's also on YouTube, and I found this via Twitter, there's a WDW Facts, and then the number one, if you search that on YouTube, they have a whole bunch of that background music and stuff that's, I'm not sure if that's an official Disney
it's not.
page, but they've got a lot of really good of that background music and stuff like that from different areas around the parks that we like to listen to also.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, for me, a lot of what I have done with Disney music is, you know, sometimes I'll listen to it as background music, but like Mark, I end up hearing it from my phone quite a bit. You know, the opening to Fantasmic is my primary ringtone, and I use the tone from the Star Tours ride, you know, the door opening tone for Star Tours. That's my text tone, which replaced the previous text tone, which was the alert from Kim Possible, which is now my daughter's text tone. She's a huge Kim Possible fan, so she's kept that one on her phone. And, you know, every once in a while, I'll change them up and pull up Wishes or Grim Grinning Ghosts and use those as a tone for a while. But I seem to come back to that Fantasmic one. It works well as a ringtone because it kind of builds. You know, it's a little quiet at first and then gets louder. So I like the way that one works as a ringtone and, you know, gives me a little quick dose of Disney anytime I get a phone call. We talked about a lot of things that are kind of, I don't know, maybe background things or things that are just kind of around us. But, you know, there are ways to interact with Disney in our own homes, too. And one of the ways that happens is, you know, Disney video games. There are a number of Disney-related video games out there now. Who's playing Disney video games?
We have one and are looking at a couple more.
Okay, so what are you playing, Scott?
We got the Wii, and right now we're playing the Disney Princess Enchanted Journey game.
Okay.
My 4-year-old just absolutely loves that game. And we've been looking into, my nieces have the Epic Mickey, and they just got Epic Mickey 2 for Christmas, and they love those games, so we're looking into those also for us, and then the kids when they get a little bit older and can play those games.
Right.
So that's where we're at home.
Anybody else?
We have the Epic Mickeys. We have the Epic 1 for the Wii, and then we just got the Epic Mickey 2 for the 360 for the Xbox. And then we also have the Disneyland Adventures for the Kinect, which is really cool because it basically is the layout of Disneyland, and you just kind of walk through it and do a sorts of side adventures and games and things like that. And the kids love it. They have a blast with it. And then we have a Gamefly subscription, and we just got in the mail today. We just got the Cars Mater Nationals, the racing game for the 360 as well.
Cool. So. Yeah. I don't know. Around here, the primary video gaming happens on iPads and on iPhones, and my son especially is a huge Where's My Water fan, and then has also picked up, as a result of that, the Where's My Perry spinoff game. But then I noticed just tonight that I had downloaded, you know, there are a bunch of us that stumbled on this Kingdom Keepers KK Quest game that's connected to the Kingdom Keeper books that are related to Disney. It's sort of, I guess, two steps removed, but the quests in the game, the puzzle game, are all related to Walt Disney World Parks trivia. And I had downloaded it to play a little bit myself, and noticed when I got home last night that it had automatically downloaded to my daughter's phone, so she was playing too. So that was kind of fun. And there are a couple other iPad/iPhone games that the kids like. There's that pixeled drawing app, and I'm trying to think what the other one was. Well, and of course, you know, fiddling around with lines just to check and see, you know, if I was in Disney World right now, it would only be 15 minutes in line at Space Mountain. It's always nice to be able to fantasize for a minute about being in line like that.
Yeah, I got the My Disney Experience downloaded onto my phone. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that works in the park. And I just downloaded that Kingdom Keepers one as well today. I just heard about it, you know, on the Facebook, and I'm really looking forward to that one as well. It looks pretty cool.
How about you, Eric? Any gamers in your family?
For Disney games, just a couple. I think we got the Epic Mickey, and I honestly haven't played it for quite a while.
My problem with Epic Mickey is that I'm really bad at those sort of games. So we tried, but I'm so abysmally uncoordinated that we gave up fairly quickly.
Yeah, that certainly may play a role in me putting it on the shelf as well. But my daughters like games on their iPod Touches. There's a some sort of Tinkerbell game on there that they've been known to play for quite a while. And I was glad to hear that I'm not the only one who, you know, pulls out the Lines application and checks wait times and just to see what it would be like if I were actually in the park.
Yeah.
At some time.
I used to do that, and then I found myself getting upset because most of the times the times were shorter than what I ever had to wait. So
that'll teach you to work with a good touring plan next time.
Well, they weren't that much more, but still, it's a concept.
All right. Well, does anybody else have any, you know, major ways in which, you know, you kind of bring Disney home? Another one for my family is that, you know, my daughter and I share a love for Disney movies. And we really, that was our first real connection to Disney was the movies. We didn't get into the whole theme park thing until fairly recently, as compared to a lot of the guys. And we still really enjoy our Friday night movie nights. And we've had a lot of fun over the last couple of months because my kids made a pact, and their deal was that they would agree to watch only Disney movies between then and the vacation that was coming up, the convention, on our weekly movie night. And so we've been enjoying a string of Disney movies, and we just finished deciding that tomorrow night we'll be watching Jungle Book 1, and assuming we get started on time, we'll do a double feature and do Jungle Book 1 and 2 for our last Disney movie night before the convention. And Michaela explained that we chose that one because Jungle Book was the last movie that Walt worked on. Anybody else big movie fans?
Yeah, we've you know, just recently got like Brave, and we had Tangled, and we've got, you know, working on a good shelf of our Disney films. We used to have a ton of the VHS stuff, but of course, you know, if you could find yourself a VHS player that works these days, you'd be in good shape. but most, you know, the stuff we're moving over towards is the Blu-ray disc,
right?
You know, the double set that you get, and the digital copy as well, so you can put it on your iPad and watch that. But yeah, we love Disney, and now with Netflix getting the contract, you know, with Disney, that makes it even easier to enjoy, you know, a lot.
Yeah,
Disney movies.
There's a lot that's available now that hasn't been for a while.
Speaking of Netflix, one thing that I like to do is occasionally pull up the documentaries that they have on Netflix.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned
parks.
That. Yeah.
That definitely takes me back.
Yeah.
Those are always fun to take a look at.
The Disney parks videos are great, and there are actually a couple of, you know, more sort of not so much for the kids, but adult regular, you know, documentary films that are available on Netflix and are pretty interesting. There's a one called El Grupo that is about the group of Disney animators that did that tour of South America that led to the package films from South America, the, you know, the Three Caballeros movies and Saludos Amigos and all those. And it's interesting stuff. I recommend you look for it.
Yeah, there was some new ones on Discovery Channel. I missed them. I'm looking forward, hoping that they make it to Netflix. But that Modern Marvel show just did one here, I think 2 weeks ago. They had a new one on Disney.
Yeah, I don't know that was a new one because we've seen it before. But you do have to kind of watch for it. They rerun it every so often. It's a good one. We watched most of it. I forget.
That's good to hear the rerun because I might have seen it then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one. They run it every so often, and you know, somebody, I forget who it was, mentioned on Facebook that it had started, and I think there were probably about a half dozen of us that immediately, you know, flipped over and started watching too.
Yeah, I know I did. On Netflix, they have, you know, they have the one on the cruise ships, but they only do – it's kind of an old one because they only have the wonder and the magic on there. And as Eric and I both, and Aaron, you know that there is two other ships out there because we've been on them. So
yeah,
we informed to update that.
Well, they're all a little dated now because, you know, none of them include New Fantasyland, and the information on Animal Kingdom is a little dated, and the stuff on the cruise line is definitely dated. But there's still, you know, like Eric was saying, a way to kind of transport yourself back for a half hour or so and like we were saing, we bring Disney home with us for a little while.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and you know, with the older documentaries like that, it can almost take you back to the early days and then have the newer documentaries when they get everything up to speed back to the middle days or however you want to put it. It would be a nice way to differentiate that. I hope they don't just discontinue the older ones when they update everything, because the older ones are a lot of stuff that I remember from the older days.
Yeah, apparently you can do a search on YouTube and find there's a lot of the older, you know, the vacation videos, the Disney vacation videos, the promotional ones that they did for Walt Disney World. There's a lot of them that are available, either all of them or parts of them on YouTube these days. I keep meaning to search and watch some of them because I think it would be interesting to compare and to take a look and see, you know, how the parks have grown and how the experience has changed. You know, so far we've kind of talked about little discrete elements, things like that, but there are some places where bringing Disney home really completely permeates home. And Mark, you've got a good example of that.
Yeah, we went ahead and when the boys were still sharing a room, we went and we totally painted all the walls white. And then I made transparencies of different scenes from Peter Pan. And then we got a projector and we blew them up on the wall and then traced them out. And then we painted the entire room. And each wall had a mural from a scene from Peter Pan. And so we have, you know, the kids and Peter Pan flying in front of Big Ben. And it has, you know, the last star on the right. All the faces of Big Ben, we use the glow-in-the-dark paint. So all the faces of Big Ben glow-in-the-dark. We had one wall that had Tiger Lily and Chief Red Cloud, you know, around the fire with Peter Pan. It had the Lost Boys all tied up around a stake out there. And then we had the other wall had, it had the Jolly Roger in, you know, in the bay with, you know, all the sails glowed in the dark, all the cannon turrets, they all glowed in the dark, and then the reflection in the water, they all glowed in the dark down there too. And then the other wall we had Tiger Lily and Captain Hook and Shmi and the canoe going across the water with the sun in the background. And then the sun had a reflection in the water as well, and it all glowed in the dark as well. And then, you know, all the Tinkerbells in the whole room, there was Tinkerbells everywhere. They all glowed in the dark. And then, it went from nighttime to daytime, you know, on the ceiling, and it had trees that went up the wall up onto the ceiling. It was crazy. And it took 2 weeks to paint it. My wife and my mother-in-law did just a fantastic job on it. And we still have pictures up there, and we'll try to figure out if there's a way to post them up there on the site. And then we also have the Mickey Mouse bathroom. It has black and white checkered tiles on the floor and then small checkered tiles, you know, on the walls. And then Mickey heads, and then has his hands, his head, his hands, and his feet. We found these stamps at Home Depot one time, and I tried finding them in the garage, but I can't find them to save my life because somebody was asking me for them from the disc dads.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've done a few rooms in our house that kind of went off the charts. So the Peter Pan room, it was a big hit, especially at 4th of July, because after the fireworks and everything, everybody would come inside and make us shut off the lights at the Peter Pan room so the kids could see it glow. Yeah, it was pretty neat.
That is awesome.
Well, now, you know, Scott, you have your own sort of Disney immersive experience that you brought into your home.
Yeah, we didn't go near that extravagant. That is so cool. We've done a Disney Christmas tree, and kind of we have an upstairs and a downstairs that both get decorated almost completely with two separate trees. So we have one tree that's kind of our other tree, our non-Disney tree, and then upstairs in the living room where everybody sees it, we have our Disney tree, and that's another kind of one of our traditions. Every trip we go on, everybody gets a Disney ornament, and the kids have all got their Disney First Christmas ornaments from on site, and it's just kind of something fun that we do. And then we got the garland and the Mickey heads incorporated in that. We got some Mickey head Christmas lights that we hang up inside and that kind of thing too. So Christmas is our big Disney time at home, I guess you should say.
Okay, that works. How about you, Eric? Any Disney decor?
Not so much decor. We have a lot of accessories in the kitchen that are Disney themed. So we've got a set of big Mickey head plates. We've got Mickey wine stoppers. We've got a set of coasters, actually, for in the living room, that have each of the four parks depicted in kind of a stylized way, the icons of each one.
Right.
And
I really wanted those plates. I saw them. They went on sale in the Disney store, and I really wanted them. And they were, by the time I got there to buy them, they were sold out. I was really disappointed.
They're really great, and they've got probably more square footage than most of the other plates that we have. I think mostly because of the ears. and with my daughter, sometimes you have to say, okay, you eat one ear worth of vegetables, and then you can have dessert, but not before then.
See, that's valuable information. I'm going to have to remember that one.
Useful parenting tips here on the Disney
Podcast.
That's right.
Eating ears worth of vegetables. I'm afraid if I told my son that he'd be, let's not go there. Picking corn out of his ears for a week. All right. So you've heard about all the things that we do as dads to try to bring a little bit of Disney home with us. We'd love to hear from you and hear what you do. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And brand new, just in time for the convention, you'll be able to follow up on what was going on at the convention. We're going to have a live blog running at dizdads.tumblr.com. And everybody, all the guys who are with us at the convention are going to be able to post to that live. And I know you aren't going to hear this until after we all get back from the convention, but that should give you a sort of a bit of a travelogue of what the convention was like. We invite everybody who is part of our group to post their own images and snippets to that blog. Oh, and one other new site that Scott reminded me that we should mention here is Mixlr. If you followed along with the live podcast that we did from the convention, we use a site called Mixlr. Mixlr.com/DizDadsPodcast. And I think we'll probably be experimenting with some more live podcasts. I don't know if we're ready for monthly yet, but we'll keep you updated both through the podcast here and on the blog at DizDads.com. The interaction with all the guys is really what makes this so much fun. So thanks a lot, guys. I've had a great time. It's been Aaron Rittmaster with Mark Pratt.
Hey, everybody. Have a great evening. Thanks for joining us.
Eric Anderson.
See you next time.
And Scott Henney.
Good night, everybody.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.